in relation to the body will parallel one another. But then again, sometimes these activities become opposed to one another. For instance, you want to go to the kirtan and dance, but you find out your body has become, over the last week, because you worked so hard, has become so weak that you cannot really dance and chant. Then you have that the constitutional activities of singing and dancing for Krishna and the conditional activities, that is the body, oppose each other. There are many, many examples in the life of a devotee. This is a very tame, ein sehr zahmes Beispiel, you know, where, for instance, you want to serve Krishna, but your mind seems to be so unsettled and unsatisfied that you can't bring it to hear the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra or to do even your services. So, Prabhupada says sometimes these activities will parallel each other, but sometimes these activities become opposed to one another. As far as possible, a devotee is very cautious so that he does not do anything that could disrupt his wholesome condition. He knows that perfection in his activities depends on his progressive realization of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes, however, it may be seen that a person in Krishna consciousness commits some act which may be taken as abominable socially or politically, but such a temporary fall down does not disqualify him. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it is stated that if a person falls down but is wholeheartedly engaged in the transcendental service of the Supreme Lord, the Lord, being situated within his heart, purifies him and excuses him from that abomination. And material contamination is so strong, this is now, listen very carefully, that even a yogi fully engaged in the service of the Lord sometimes becomes ensnared. But Krishna consciousness is so strong that such an occasional fall down is at once rectified. Therefore, the process of devotional service is always a success. No one should deride a devotee for some accidental fall down from the ideal path. For, as explained in the next verse, such occasional fall downs will be stopped in due course as soon as a devotee is completely situated in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, a person who is situated in Krishna consciousness and is engaged with determination in the process of chanting, and now something for the tired listener, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Such a person should be considered to be in the transcendental position, even if by chance or accident he is found to have fallen. The words Sadhu Eva, he is saintly, are very emphatic. They are a warning to the non-devotees that because of an accidental fall down, a devotee should not be derided. He should still be considered saintly, even if he has accidentally fallen down. And the word mantavya is still more emphatic. If one does not follow this rule and derides a devotee for his accidental fall down, then one is disobeying the order of the Supreme Lord. The only qualification of a devotee, very important, you know, Krishna, in other words, excuses a fall down of a devotee if he has the following qualification. The only qualification of a devotee is to be unflinchingly and exclusively engaged in devotional service. In the Nishinga Puran, the following statement is given. Bhagavati charamanya cheta brisha malinopi virajate manushya nahi shasha kalusha shapti kadachit timira paravavatam upaiti chandra. The meaning is that even if one fully engaged in devotional service of the Lord is sometimes found engaged in abominable activities, these activities should be considered to be like the spots that resemble the mark of a rabbit on the moon. Such spots do not become an impediment to the diffusion of moonlight. Similarly, the accidental fall down of a devotee from the path of saintly character does not make him abominable. Very wonderful. On the other hand, now this is an important addition, one should not misunderstand that a devotee in transcendental devotional service can act in all kinds of abominable ways. This verse only refers to an accident due to the strong power of material connections. Devotional service is more or less a declaration of war against the illusory energy, as long as one is not strong enough to as long as one is not strong enough to fight the illusory energy, there may be accidental fall downs. But when one is strong enough, he is no longer subjected to such fall downs as previously explained. No one should take advantage of this verse and commit nonsense and think that he is still a devotee if he does not improve in his character by devotional service. Then it is to be understood that he is not a high devotee. Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyari Shatayine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vaishnava Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Shri Shri Gandharvika Giridhari Ki Let us again hear the verse and translation, and then we will offer further explanations to this very interesting subject matter. Text 30. Apichet sudara charo bhajat imam ananyabhag salo eva samantabhya samyak yavasito visaha. Even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he has to be considered saintly because he is properly situated in his determination. After Krishna spoke this verse to Arjuna, Arjuna had a doubt. His doubt was that, Krishna, you mean to say that someone who actually does something like a theft or even further violence towards others in a very abominable way, even he is considered to be saintly? Krishna, when I tell this to the people, what do you expect them to think? They think you were just protecting your devotees. And they can do it. They have a freibrief, they have a license to do things which are nonsensical. But Krishna says, no. If you say this, Prabhupada, if you preach this, people will worship you and say, "Oh Maharaj." This you might say, where is this to be found? This is to be found in the commentaries of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Baladev Vidyabhushanas to these verses of the Gita commentaries which Srila Prabhupada has weaved in his purpose. Why? Because it shows the tremendous strength of devotional service. This is very, very important to hear for someone who is like us, endeavoring in the process of devotional service, and is sometimes confronted with his material nature or his conditional nature. Do you know what I'm talking about? Does it sometimes happen to you that you have moments where you step beside you and watch you, where you watch yourself acting on the platform of life, and where you think, this person is not so advanced as I would wish him to be? Do you have sometimes moments where you see how your mind produces pictures, or could we even say movies? That's many pictures at once. Where you really feel this might be criticized by my Guru Maharaj if he wouldn't know what I'm just now producing here. Do you sometimes feel weak? Or do you, are you angry at Mangal Arati in the temple? I will check tomorrow morning. Do you sometimes notice I am still a conditioned soul? Hare Krishna, I'm very sorry for my sometimes temperamental style, but this is a very question which I feel every one of us confronts in his or her lives certain times. It's natural for every truthful Vaishnava to also see it. Rupa Goswami says, Krishna, you once killed the snake demon Kaliya, but I don't think your snake killing pastime should be ended there. In the lay of my heart, there is a snake. It's called enviousness, a pride. And I wish that you come in the heart and crush that demon of anatta. I feel it is very realistic, therefore, to say if Rupa Goswami makes such an exalted prayer to the Lord, to confront, to be open and say, yes, sometimes I do have conditioned activities and a weak side in me. Now this is totally natural. We hear in this verse that every devotee has two sides, a conditional nature and then a constitutional nature. There are conditional activities, that is, activities referring to the body, even for the upkeep of the body, like resting and sweating and feeling weak or feeling strong or feeling passionate or feeling ignorant and so on. And there's constitutional activities like chanting, performing devotional service to the Lord, surrendering to the desires of the spiritual master and the supreme personality of Godhead. And often, and there should be our aim, let me say it positively, that these are going parallel to each other, that the conditional activities don't stop our, or come in the way of our constitutional activities. But sometimes it just doesn't work. Then a devotee even may find himself in an embarrassing situation. He may have fallen in love, although he is married. He may have eaten too much, although he's sick. I didn't intend this to be any poetical connection with the previous statement. The point is that many times these go against each other. They are not what we could call harmonious or parallel to each other. But then a devotee should know that the spiritual activities, or let us say the constitutional activities of devotional service, are so strong that they outweighed the conditional activities. The example of the moon has been given. Sometimes the moon looks as if has marks of a rabbit, as if a rabbit had run through snow. There are these dark marks. But in no way could we say that these dark marks impair the moonlight in any way. No, it's not possible. So the activities, or let us say the mistakes, the faults or flaws in the devotee's life which happen are not impairing his spiritual, his Krishna consciousness. No one should therefore criticize the devotee because of his accidental fall down. Prabhupada has said like this. In order to bring your attention to the subject matter, to the full weight of the statement, I will tell you one of the most interesting stories from the Puranas which I've ever heard. It's narrated by our Jayapataka Maharaj, and it describes in a very fascinating way just exactly how the constitutional activities of devotional service were. Once upon a time, Hare Krishna. Any good story has to start like this. There was a king who was a real rascal. He exploited the population. He was a woman hunter of the worst kind. He did many cheating things in order to gain extra money. He would collect a lot of money from the citizens but not give anything back as far as benefits were concerned. And as a result, everyone hated him. Now, once it so happened that the king, who had a prostitute in the forest whom he visited frequently, it so happened that the king went to this prostitute. It was the month of Magha, or February. And he entered the beautiful garden of the prostitute, and he sat with her, to discuss a little bit and let the human emotions become warm and warmer, to break the fourth regulative principle eventually. So he didn't know any principles, so but the deities are open and I want to speak civilized. They talked, and all of a sudden the king heard a noise. And he was very excited. Someone who is a rascal is always afraid that someone or something is going to get on his case. He looked and he looked. He saw, he felt a relief. A champak flower had fallen from the tree. Now, for those of you who do not know the Sanskrit names of flowers, champak is a jasmine flower. Who of you knows jasmine flowers? The smell of jasmine flowers. Oh, so many. Jasmine flower smells very, very good. These flowers are offered to Krishna. Sometimes a flower garland is made by the gopis for him only of these champak flowers. They have an unearthly, beautiful smell. Then you go to Vrindavan, and the evenings are there around March. The air is laden with the fragrance of this beautiful champak flower, so that you almost can become drunken with the smell. It's so fascinating. So, therefore this flower is often used in the worship of the Lord. Now the king, he saw the flower had just fallen, and he did what we sometimes do in ISKCON. Sometimes in ISKCON we take some incense and we just wave it. You know, we say out of joke, we don't even take an incense, we take like an imaginary incense. Oh, Puja, Puja, you are so great. We sometimes say this, isn't it? Don't you joke sometimes in Sweden like this also? isn't it? You know, when someone did something well, we say, you know. So in the same humorous and joking way, the rescue king made like this with his hand, pointing towards where the champak flower was. It was here in imaginary space. He took it, made like this, and he said, Om Namo Narayan, as if he was offering that flower to Lord Narayan, like it is done in puja. At this moment he heard another terrible noise. You know, 10 people were all of a sudden surrounding him, pointing their arrows at them and shot him so that he drowned in the blood of his heart. What had happened? The rebels had made connection to the prostitute and had offered her a large payment to tell them exactly when the king would come. And he came in a private mood. He wanted to break the principles with her. There's a situation where one doesn't have his bodyguards with him, you know. and that was the only possibility to get rid of him for the rebels. So they shot him. At this moment, a special squadron of the Yamadutas left the hellish planetary system. Because this person had done such bad activities that they really wanted to suck it to him, as you say in Swing American. You know, they really wanted to give him a solid punishment, you know, embracing a few red hot iron ladies, you know, in the hellish planets and so on. They really had a good plan, you know, right now. And they came to this scene where this king was just he was dying immediately, and they wanted to take him, but how surprised they were when they found a few luminous personalities with bodies resembling a sapphire, you know, with crowns and with arms full with weapons, amongst them a chakra. Oh, who are you? Said the Yamadutas. Oh, we are the Vishnu Dutas. This person goes to Lord Vishnu's planet. No, no, said the Yamadutas. We have some special treatments for him. He was a sinner. He was murdering brahmanas. He exploited the people. He did not know of any principles. A meat eater, a rascal, a fallen soul, and come on, it's Sanya Yuga, we meet so few of these guys. No, let us have our fun a little bit, be human, Yamadutta-like, you know. The Vishnu said, no, he may have been all that, but he chanted, Om Namo Narayanaya. Come on, said the Yamadutta, he didn't mean that, you know. What he wanted is he wanted to be a little bit cultured before his spouse or partner for the night, but he didn't. He's an irreligious atheist. No, no, said the Vishnudutas. And the Yamadutas could see that their strength was totally inferior to the strength of the Vishnudutas and left him to the Vishnudutas. This is one of so many illustrations given in Shastra how strong constitutional or spiritual activities are and how they outweighed by far the power of bad karma, for instance, which is accrued by the conditional activities. That's why Krishna says, even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in this devotional service, constitutional activities, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated in his determination. It cannot be stressed enough in Krishna conscious philosophy that our spiritual activities are, so potent. We should just do as much as spiritual activities as we can get our hands and our bodies and our tongues and our minds and our ears and all our senses on. Because we will, this is so beneficial that it cannot be really expressed in words. You need stories to express it. In a devotee's life, his conditional activities, and I mean now habits, are sometimes giving a devotee a trouble. But as long as the devotee is willing to continue his devotional activities, the trouble is only temporary and it will be overcome by the strengths of the spiritual activities or the constitutional activities. As long as one keeps doing these things, keeps doing the spiritual, constitutional activities, then we are on the safe side. Prabhupada here says, if one does not follow this, the only qualification of a devotee is to be unflinchingly and exclusively engaged in devotional service. Srila Prabhupada gave us an example how our past habits or our conditional nature can sometimes give us a problem in devotional service. He talked of a group of pilgrims which were going to a holy place. Now amongst the group of pilgrims there was an habituated thief. I think you call this in modern psychology kleptomania. These kleptomanians have to steal. It is strange. I once met a devotee who came with tears in his eyes to me and said, Maharaj, I have to confess you something. Okay, I said, private or public? Private. What is it? What you want to dump on me? As an older devotee, what it means when someone says I have to confess it. I'm a kleptomaniac. I don't know if this is the English word kleptoman, as one says. I am a kleptomaniac. I went into the temple shop and stole a zari. I don't know why. I just have to steal something. It's unexplainable for a healthy person, but they have to steal. It's a must. It's like for a normal person, he has to eat it sometime or another. It just comes, overcomes. It is as compelling. As compelling. Or compulsive. So, the pilgrims were going on the pilgrimage, and amongst them was a kleptomaniac person. I don't think it's the right word in English, but
it
I think
is.
You are. It is. You think kleptomaniac?
Definitely.
Really? Oh. It sounds really heavy. So he was all of a sudden. So the pilgrims were lying down, and they all had their little bundles, and they had their soap and their fresh clothes for the morning and their kamshas. You know, and the kleptomaniac woke up and he felt this urge, oh no, no. He had to do something about it. And so he started to open the bundle of the pilgrims to look for valuables. But in the midst of it, he thought, oh no, I can't do this, I can't do it, I'm on a pilgrimage. But he had to do something. So what he did is, he took the bundles and just placed them at different places. He didn't open anything and steal anything. So you can imagine that they woke up, you know, a little drowsy, you know, and, you know, where's my bundle? You know, finally they found some bundle, but no, it's not my bundle, and I need to take a shower. And now, and you know, then a great clamouk went loose, you know. Where is my bundle? There's my bundle. You know, they all looked all over, and finally they found each other's bundle, and there was a large, big confusion, you know. And then finally the kleptomaniac said, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, I am a kleptomaniac, a habituated thief. I didn't steal anything, but I had to do something. So I just mixed the bundles, but I didn't open anything or steal anything. This is a very good example. Please excuse me, please. I'm totally sorry, but if you don't kick me out of your association, maybe I will become purified from this second nature. So, this is a good example for a devotee whose conditional side, so to say, sometimes overweights. And he again makes politics like he used to do before he became a devotee, or he is physically attracted to a member of the opposite sex, although it really does make sense and it should be. I'm not talking about the sacred Grihastha ashram in which we can enter and so on, but you know these things, these accidents which happen along the path. So, you know, it is happening. But if he engages himself in the devotional activities of Krishna consciousness, soon he will overcome this nature. The reason is that Krishna has a quality, it's called Bhava Grahi Janardana, that is, he accepts the essence of a devotee's intention. He overlooks the folder, the faulty side of a devotee, and he just accepts his or her, let us say, serious endeavor to please him. Well, we have such devotees, maybe even in our Cosmos God project, who may not be so brahminically inclined, or who may sometimes eat too much, and you can't really expect them at the morning program, so on. But Krishna accepts their little devotional service. He is a very, very kind to someone who engages in service. He gives chances and overlooks the conditioned things. Prabhupada once talked about his Western disciples in a very humorous way, which showed how lenient he was as long as he saw the endeavor. He said, sometimes you say guru instead of guru. guru means cow, and guru means spiritual master. So the difference of meaning is vast. But that doesn't matter. Bhava grahi janarana. He, Krishna, knows. So that is not a point. Krishna overlooks the discrepancy. I find this so soothing and so encouraging in a way. And I feel as devotees, we should also, if Krishna is Bhava Grahi Janarana, if, how do you say, Prabhupada is accepting just the essence of someone's intention, we should also learn to look for that. And we will find that each devotee all of a sudden becomes a jewel. See, there are two ways you could approach this glass now. One is, oh, the glass is half empty. The other is, the glass is half full. It may make a total difference. For instance, if I would give someone this glass, you know, why did he have to drink before? You know, I wanted to drink. I'm also a thirsty human being. You know, and he might become offended. But someone who gets this glass, let us say, a Sashinandan Swami fanatic, you know, they have to say, Maha. The glass is half full. You know, this is a common experience in Krishna consciousness. So it shows you in a very easy, demonstrable way that your perspective that you take in your life will really influence your reactions. So, in Krishna consciousness or in dealing with each other, it really helps to look at the constitutional activities and overlook faults which may happen on the conditional platform. For us in practice, and I feel this little remark is necessary to bring the lecture to a wholesome or balanced end. It doesn't mean that we should, that we think we can do each and every nonsense as long as we do devotional service. No. But if there are some mistakes due to the mighty power of Maya, then we should know Krishna will, you know, as Krishna will overlook. Hare Krishna, do you have any questions regarding these subject matters? Yeah, so this devotee first. What is your name?
Narakaradas.
Narakarada. You are for the Czech?
Slovenia. So you were speaking about seeing the devotees, like this positive side.
Yeah. It's also said constitutional side. Yes. Yeah.
It's also said that one should like choose one's association very carefully, even among devotees.
Yeah. Devotee association works like music. When you have a sita, for instance, and you play a certain frequency, that frequency becomes or moves the resounding strings. It makes like this. In the same way, devotee association, if you have strong devotee association, it moves or lets three strings resound in you. The sat, chit, ananda, vihata. See, three qualities which we as spiritual souls have. We are eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. And when we have the association, we were talking, I believe, in Anbik about it, we have the association of such strong Vaishnavas, then we will feel. Isn't it the result? When, for instance, we see how Sri Vishnupada is coming, immediately a certain feeling is, I can't express it in good words, you know, you're moved. Not, he has not said anything, there's no verbal communication, but you feel deeply moved inside when you see that. You see some, or you see a Vaishnava, an exalted Vaishnava coming and visiting you in consciousness, and feels, wow, something, it's a resounding spiritual. The secret of, I'm studying a little bit Vedic psychology, I must admit, and hope I don't disappoint you. In communication, there is the verbal communication, but then there are other types of communication. For instance, people in the material world who are not yet fixed up in the brahmachari life are sometimes attracted to each other sexually. This happens in the lower chakra. In discotheques, for instance, they see and they want to practically, you know, behave in indecent ways. This is on the lower chakra, this attraction. Or don't you have this sometimes in your life? You meet someone and you feel intuitively attracted to this person, or I would like to get to know him a little bit more. Or sometimes you meet a person. I know. And you. This is happening in the Anahata chakra. The Anahata chakra, heart chakra. So communication takes place not only in the verbal world, but in the other more subtle ways where you feel affection or even repulsion sometimes. Some esoteric knowledge is not so deeply spiritual, and so on and so forth. But there is a spiritual communication, a spiritual attraction which is described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and that is that you resound when you hear when you come together with a devotee. The resounding, it is coloring you, it is influencing you. Especially if you can open your heart and not look at the devotee in an envious way or maybe with a material vision. So yes, we should look for strong Vaishnava association. But that doesn't mean we should be arrogant with others. We should make friends with devotees who are on our level, and for those who are coming and advancing, we should give them our attention and help them go along. If you deal in these three ways with people, you will never be disappointed. With the more advanced you look up to and you serve, with the those on your level, you make friendship and don't envy them if they do something better than you, also friendship. And if you are meeting people who need help, and if you help them, it's very good. You will never be disturbed in your human relations. This is explained by Svayambhuva Manu to Durga Maharaj. It's a very interesting tip in the past canto. Yeah, our eternal questioner. What is your name, by the way? Oleg. From Ukraine. Yeah, please ask your question.
Sometimes it happened that somebody is doing such horrible attraction that he losing at least in this lifetime complete association with devotees because of this. And so what is really this limit of to make it accident?
What's the limit? How far can you go? I prefer to not talk about it, plus I would have to really stretch my imagination. I don't want you to hear some typical fantasy from my mind. It would not, better don't think about it. I just know one Leela which Yadava Prakash was called to appear in the court of the king, and this king had a daughter, his only daughter, who was haunted by a Brahmana ghost. Now, the Brahmana ghost is a real heavy type of ghost. He's a Brahmana and he did something so terrible that he became a ghost. And they're very, very heavy. They're called Brahma Rakshasas. They are so powerful, they can take on a physical body if they want. They are the most heavy types of ghosts. Really heavy. Sometimes I heard in Srila Mayapur such a Brahman ghost was seen. Really, you go like, wow. The cosmos ghosts are children against little babies. So it happened. Yes. The king called Yadava Prakash, knowing that he knew all the tantras and yantras and everything to draw exercise. Exercise the ghost. And Yadava Prakash started. He had brought all his disciples with him so that they would also learn to do this eventually. And sat down before the princess. At that time the princess was hanging upside down with her feet on the roof. And the hairs were all wild, like Struwelpeter. she was really... and she was looking with expectant eyes at Yadava Prakash. Yadava Prakash. She was haunted. She sat down. She purified himself. And then she said, Yadava Prakash, I know the mantras that you're going to say. Bing, bing, bing. She went and said all the mantras that she was going to say. And I'm not influenced by your foolish mantras. Nothing. And she screamed. Yes, how she screamed. And jumped off the roof and began chasing Yadava Prakash. Yadava Prakash was running. Leave me alone. Was running around the court. It is described in circles, running around. and the disciples of Yadava Prakash looked at this. And then the princess stopped and said, Yadava Prakash, I will only leave the body of this princess if your disciple Ramanuja puts his lotus feet on the head of the princess. And Yadava Prakash, he was in risk of his life. You know, these Brahmana Rakshasas, they like to eat humans, especially some parts which we won't mention in this lecture. So then they would set Ramanuja down, and then before the princess bowed down, she said, "And Yadava Prakash, I give you a warning. This." Your disciple is a great devotee of Vishnu, and he is, you should bow down to him, become his disciple. Do you know why I am like this? And you know, the princess, you really, I don't want to make a grimace and chase you out of the room. Do you know why I am like this?
No, I don't know. Do you think I should know?
I was making Vaishnava aparad like you are doing against Ramanuja. That's why I'm like this. You will know that I leave the body of the princess when the branch of the big tree there crashes. And then Ramanuja puts a feet on the head, and then this huge tree was crashing down, and the princess looked up beautifully and innocently. It was cured. So, Vaishnava aparads, that's the absolute killer. I mean, if you go into that and you really do that heavy, then that can be very bad for you. Don't do Vaishnava aparads. It's not good. It's also the first offense to be avoided in chanting Hare Krishna. Shruti Mukhi. Yes, I'm sorry.
I would like to ask, why is it so that the managers have a difficult time understanding and adopting these teachings of Krishna?
Why the managers have difficult times? I don't know. Hare Krishna, goodbye. I think we must have mercy on our managers. They have to approach the world in terms of getting things done, and if something doesn't get done, it creates great problems for the community of Vaishnavas. So they do have to correct devotees when they do mistakes. That's a, sometimes managers don't want to be managers because of this. For me, it's easy. Traveling sannyasi, you can say all devotees are wonderful. You know, let us look at the constitutional natures. But if I'm at the Gauranga Bhajan group concert, and you know, half an hour before the 10,000 people come into the door, I hear that so and so has totally forgotten to get the right electrical current you need for these big speakers, certain high voltage power, you know. And then I also ask, who did this? Who forgot it? Whose duty was it? And you know, 10,000 people, and I will ask the devotee, please, where have you left your brain today? then I go back, oh, wow. But the 10,000 people have to come in also. Managers, however, must be careful that they can also look through the eyes of, which is described in this this verse, so that they can remain appreciative of devotees, because a manager always hears all the problems, and you know, it will be overburdening him if he cannot sometimes step back from his desk and say, oh yeah, devotees, as long as they are engaged, and I also made mistakes and so on. It's too different. So to say, the manager has to adopt a certain worldview to get things done. This was an answer which falls into the category have mercy on the managers. you can also give another answer if someone mismanages, but I was explaining the case where a devotee manages well or has a good attention and a good approach towards devotees. About mismanagement, I do not think it's required to talk. If there is a mistake, then obviously it needs correct to be corrected. Mm-hmm. Any other question? Good, then we will end here. Tomorrow morning we will have another class and we'll talk about a very interesting subject matter which I have made a note of, but I don't know what it is right now. Please, if you have time. it's really interesting, but I forgot it. So please do come if you have time. I know you won't be disappointed. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Gaudiya ki jai, Gaud Premanand ki jai,
Srila Sachinandan Maharaj ki jai.